To ask you, first of all, a personal question. Will you be honest with me when I ask you the question? Will you be honest with me? Will you? Here's the question. How many of you are going through something right now? You're going through something right now in your life. All of us are going through something right now in our life. But are you going through some stuff? Maybe you don't really quite understand clearly why you're going through what all you're going through. Listen to me. We're all going through some stuff. And some of us more than others. Someone has well said, turn me down. Can you turn me down a little bit? Do you know how to turn that down, please, Katie? I can hear it ring a little bit back there. I don't get too loud. Ralph, one of you, please, brother. As they're working on that, are you going through some stuff? You are going through some stuff, aren't you? Yeah, I know you are. I know you're going through some stuff, and you're wondering if you're going to make it to the other side. It's something about it. So I forget who said it, but somebody well said, God only had one son without sin, but he never had a son without a trial. Life is full of trials. Life is full of tests. And you're going through something right now, aren't you? And you're wondering, here is the deal. Y'all listen to me. Here's the deal. Watch this now. Here's the deal. Point A. We're at point A, and we want to get to point B. That's our goal in mind, to get to point B. But you know what we do? We say, but it's the process to get from point A to point B. Our focus, our goal is to get to point B. But oftentimes, we don't get straight to point B. It is a test or a trial in order to get from point A to point B. And for some reason, the Lord, I believe somebody's going to be helped this morning. Not more than one. Some of us are going through some tests in our life and trials in our life. And I came today to tell you, you're going to make it through. You hear me? I said, you're going to make it through. I said, God's going to see you through. I said, God is good and God is going to see you through what you're going through right now. Oh, praise his holy name. Because he's the only one that can see us through. But we're all going through tests and troubles in our life. And some things we don't understand. It reminded me of the story of a little girl named Lucy. She was in a classroom and her teacher was an atheist. Now, how many know what an atheist is? An atheist is somebody who don't believe in God. Day after day, this teacher drilled into the children's head, I'm an atheist, I'm an atheist, I'm an atheist. Well, the little children didn't understand what an atheist was, and so the little children kind of wanted to be like their teacher. And so day after day, until finally, about at the end of the year, the teacher stood up and said, how many of you are atheists? She said, I'm an atheist, and how many of you are atheists? Well, all the children raised their hand. They wanted to be liked, they wanted to be accepted, and furthermore, they wanted a good grade from the teacher. Everybody raised their hand, but this little girl named Lucy, she didn't raise her hand. She said to that little girl, Lucy, she said, well, are you not an atheist? And the little girl, Lucy, said, no, ma'am, I'm a Christian. And the teacher said, well, you're a Christian. And so that startled the teacher. It really surprised her. It kind of made her a little bit aggravated, to tell you the truth. And she looked at Lucy and she said, mad as she said it, why are you a Christian? Lucy said, my mama was a Christian. My daddy's a Christian. My grandmama was a Christian. My granddaddy was a Christian. My aunts and uncles are Christian. My brothers and sisters, they're Christian. And then the teacher looked at her and she was very angry at this point. She said, well, what if your mama would have been a moron? And what if your daddy would have been a moron? And what if your grandparents would have been morons? And what if your aunts and uncles would have been all morons? What would you have been? And she looked at her and said, I guess I'd have been an atheist. We go through troubles and trials. We go through troubles and trials. And I want you to picture in your mind this morning the silversmith. The silversmith takes silver. And guess what he has to do with that silver? He puts it in the middle of a fire. He's got a hold of that silver. Picture in your mind the silversmith. He's purifying silver. He's got it in the middle of the fire. And he knows how hot it is. Is there anybody here today that says, man, I feel like I'm going through some fires. I just don't know if I'm going to make it from point A to point B. I really want to get a better job. And my point A is point B is a better job. Or I really know that I need to have a better relationship with my children and with my spouse or my husband or wife. And so my point A to point B is really a better relationship. You know, I hadn't... the best of relationship, or maybe you're point A to point B. So if I could just get through college, I know that I could just make it. That's your point B. Or if I could just get through high school, or something else, if I could just get a house or whatever, a better job, I don't know what it is, your point A to point B, but I know this. What do you do? Here's the title of the message: going through it to get to it. Going through it to get to it. What do you do when you're going through it, but you want to get to it? You want to go from here to there. What do you do when you're going through it and you need to get to it? Three steps the Lord birthed on my heart this week to share with you today. And I believe there's going to be some breakthroughs this morning from some of us. We're going to see that it's not all about getting from point A to point B, but it's the process whereby God refines us as we go through life's journey. Three steps. We're going to find them in Psalm 66. Take in your Bibles and stand to your feet as we read Psalm 66. Just a couple of verses in Psalm 66. Please stand with me, please, as we read the wonderful living Word of God, Psalm 66. Going through it to get to it. In Psalm chapter 66, there are different opinions about who wrote the psalm. Many believe it was David, others say it was Hezekiah. It really doesn't matter, because whoever it was, the psalmist, which I personally believe it was David, more than likely faced a time of praise, and he understood this principle of going through it to get to it. And in Psalm 66, it begins with praise. It also, in the middle, is prayer and preaching and praise our living God. In Psalm 66, we begin in verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, unto God, all your lands. And then I want you to skip down to verse number 10 for the sake of time. Look at verse 10. For thou, O God, hast proved us and hast tried us as silver is tried. Underline that. What is he saying? The psalmist is saying, no doubt we are being tried and we are being refined and we are going through tests and trials. What kind of test are you going through today? What kind of trial are you facing at this very moment? I want you to know, you get through it. You get to it. Keep reading verse 11. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction about upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire. Notice that, underline that. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out unto a wealthy place. I will go into the house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. Skip down to verse 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Hear me now. Don't miss this. You need to underline and make note of verse 16. Here's what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, when I get through it and I get to it, I'm going to tell the world about my God. I'm going to testify. Because you see, the test of faith turns into a testimony of faith. He said, I'm going to get through it and I'm going to glorify my Lord. And I want you to know today, you're going to get through it. Do you hear me? I said, you're going to get through it. Look at verse number 17. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. Verse 19. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. And I'll add a hallelujah and glory. And verse 20. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. This is the wonderful word of God. May God bless it to our heart today as we think for just a little while through it to get to it. Let's pray. Father, now in the mighty name of Jesus, we recognize we're nothing without you, but with you we have all and abound. Oh, blessed God, wash me clean, thoroughly, thoroughly, through and through. Lord, you know my heart, and you know our hearts, and I pray we'll just worship you and, Father, have an audience with you. Spirit of God divine, open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, to see, Lord, that we can get through it. And you're going to bring us to it, all for your glory. I pray for those that may be here today and the through it to it may be heaven. They've never had a personal relationship with you, never accepted you, received you, and repented by faith, received you, Lord Jesus. I pray today will be their day of through it in order to get to it, to heaven. But then there's some, our Father, no doubt today, many that, Lord, are going through troubles and trials and going through hardships and storms. And so, Father, I pray now somehow, some way, you'll just give us clearness and clarity and give us direction and give us hope and give us assurance and grant us peace. And, Father, lift us up in heavenly places and bind the wicked spirits of hell. I pray, God, there'll be breakthroughs this morning. Husbands and wives and mamas and daddies and teenagers and Lord, families and God, those struggling, oh Lord, that need some answers, may you get glory and honor, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Through it to get to it. There are three steps the Lord laid on my heart to share with you today, that you're going to make it through it. I know you don't think you're going to make it through it. I know it doesn't look like it, but God said you're going to make it. I'm going to see you through it. Three steps, here they are. And they're really namely questions. When you're going through a trial, when you're going through some kind of affliction, some kind of furnace of affliction, here's the questions that must emerge. Are you ready to take them down? This is a message that you're going to have to ponder. This is a message that you're going to have to go and drink from over and over again. This is a message that you're going to need to take home with you. This is a message that you're going to need to stop and think about. Lord, what are you saying to me? Number one, the first question is this. How should we respond when we're going through it? In order to get to it, how should we respond? That's right. You're right now. You may be coming out of a storm. You might be in the middle of a storm. You might be fixing to go in a storm. Or whatever the case may be. The question is this. How should you and I respond? Number one. That's the first step. And we find that, no doubt, in verse 10 following in Psalm 66. And then secondly, not only how should we respond, but notice, what lessons can we learn? What lessons can we learn? I'm telling you, God's out to teach us. God's out to grow us. God's out to mature us. We're not there yet. And so this is the question you need to ask today. What lessons, Lord, can I learn as you're taking me through it? I know you've never been where you're at today. I know you've never done what you've done today. I know that life has its challenges day by day. Can I get an amen? Some of you today, you're in a financial bind, and if I could just get out of debt, I know I could get through it. I know I could get to it. So what lessons can we learn? And then number three, where should I go when I'm going through it? Where should I go when I'm going through it in order to get to it? Where should I go? Number one, how should I respond when I'm going through it? Right now, you'll see in a moment that maybe we're not responding properly. And we got point A, but we're not getting to point B because we're having to go around a little bit. We're taking a little detour. We want to get to point B, but because of some things, we're not getting to our point B. Number one, how should we respond? Five responses God laid on my heart to share with you today. Five responses when we're going through a trial. Job understood trials. He said this, he knows my ways, and when he tried me, I shall come forth like gold. Job 23:10. And matter of fact, listen to me, beloved. Every single servant just about that I read about in the Bible went through trials. It's a principle in the Word of God. If you're wanting to be used of God, even if you're not wanting to be used of God, the fact is God's out to mature us in Christ Jesus. And therefore, he allows storms and tests and trials to come our way, to mature us, to grow us up in Christ, to move us on. He doesn't want us to be little babies in the spiritual nursery. And I'm glad, thank God, when we get heaven's perspective, we can see that God's up to a work. How should I respond? Five responses. Here they are. You better write them down. Five responses. Here they are. Number one, evaluate your situation. Evaluate your situation. Evaluate your situation. Number two, examine your attitude. Examine your attitude. Number one, evaluate your situation. We'll come back to it in a moment. Number two, examine your attitude. And then number three, engage the enemy. Engage the enemy. And not only engage the enemy, but praise the Lord. Exchange, number four, your will. Exchange your will. You got it? Exchange your will. And then number five, the fifth way to respond. How should we respond? Lord, I want to get to it. I want to get through it. But God, what are you up to? How should I respond? Number five, exercise faith in Jesus. All right? You got those five responses. Now the question is, how are you responding right now? And I want you to examine your own heart. Evaluate your own heart right now today in the light of what God's going to say to you today. And some of us need to break free and say, you know, Lord, I've just had my focus on point B, but I've really not realized that you're refining me through this process, that you've got a plan and a purpose for me. You really want to make me more like Jesus, and I hadn't seen that. I just want to get relieved. I just want to get out of the furnace, amen. Some of us just want to get out of the furnace. And God says, no, I'm the silversmith, praise God. I've got my hand, and the silversmith has his silver in that fire. He's watching it every moment, every step of the way. Number one, evaluate your situation. All right? What do I mean by that? Evaluate your situation. That is, take inventory. That is, see if you agree with me. When you're going through a test, when you're going through some kind of trial in your family, finances, whatever it might be, then listen to me. Or health-wise, see if you agree, we can always look around and see somebody that's going through something worse than we are. Amen. I can't hear you. I'm telling you, evaluate your situation. Sometimes in point A, we say, but God, and if we're not careful, we can all of a sudden begin to look inwardly and think that we're the only one going through trials. We're the only one facing tests. We're the only one that has got all this hardship and all these struggles and all these problems. It reminds me of this week, I went to the Muse. Can I be honest with you? I got to make a confession. The Bible says confession falls one to another, pray for one another. I've been having difficulty with my shoulder for some months now, and I've been whining about it, amen. The Bible says that we're to rejoice in the Lord always. But listen to me, Thursday morning I went to the Muse and just keep things in perspective. Listen, evaluate, keep things in perspective. What you're going through right now is really minor compared to some. When I got there to the Muse, guess what I saw? I mean, I'm having a little difficulty here, but then I got there to the Muse and I saw people who were in a wheelchair that couldn't walk or use a shoulder at all. I can't hear you. I said, look around, evaluate your situation. I'm telling you, it'll do something to you. Paul made mention of this light affliction, which is but for a moment. I know it seems like an eternity. I know that you're in the fires of the crucible and you're wondering, Lord, how long are you going to leave me in the fire? But Paul said it's just like a moment. It's just like a breath. I mean, it's just like a one heartbeat, because he said, we look not at the things which are seen, which are temporal, but the things which are unseen, which are eternal. Can you hear me? Evaluate where you're at. Evaluate your perspective. Now, right now, that should be breakthrough for some of us. Some of us right now, we ought to say, hallelujah, Lord. I might be going through a trial. I might be going through a test. I might be facing some trouble. But, Lord, it's nothing in comparison to others. I look around, and not only that, Lord, I know that, God, you can even use this for my good and for your glory. And I'm going to praise you anyway. Just go ahead and do it. Number one, evaluate your situation. Number two, examine your attitude. Can I be honest with you? I want to share an honest testimony and see if you agree with me. See if you're right where I'm at. Hear me now. How many of you have trouble with your attitude when you're going through some kind of fire of affliction, some kind of test, some kind of storm? You have a tendency to have a bad attitude. Come on, can I get an amen? That's my biggest struggle, is a bad attitude. what I'm having, all my focus is I want to get to point B. I'm not really interested in all the stuff you go through from point A to point B. I just want to get to point B. And when I don't get to point B, when I'm on a detour, when I've got to go around this way and I got to start back over, and God says, nope, you're not going to get to point B yet. You've got to go through some stuff first, but I'm going to get you over there to point B. I'm going to get you there. It might take a little while. And then I say, but Lord, I want to get to point B. Time's running out, God. I want to get to point B. How many get impatient when you're going through a trial or a storm? You get impatient. You get a bad attitude. I heard about a man that went to the doctor, and he said to the doctor said, sir, I've got bad news and I've got worse news. And the man said, all right, doc, tell me the bad news. The doctor said, sir, you've got 24 hours to live. He said, what? He said, there can't be any worse news than that. He said, what's the worst news? The doctor said, I forgot to tell you yesterday. You'll get it on the way home, amen. But look, getting from point A to point B. Is there anybody here that needs an AA right now? An AA, an attitude adjustment. Has your attitude gotten rotten? Has your attitude gotten bad? Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians 4:31. He said, let all bitterness, the word bitterness is the word picross in the Greek, it means resentment. I know we resent, and instead of getting mad, we need to get glad, amen? But that's our problem. We get mad and we get agitated and we get irritated and we get frustrated. I'm preaching to a lot of folks that I'm looking at your face and tell you that you're going through a trial now and you're agitated and you're irritated and you just need to let that stuff go. You just need to say, God, I believe you're still God. I believe I'm going to get through it. I believe I'm going to get to it. And I'm not going to let the devil win this battle. Listen to me. Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. The word of God teaches in Hebrews 12:15, look diligently lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any seed of bitterness spring up trouble you, thereby cause many to be defiled. You get a bad attitude, you start getting ugly about it, and guess what? It spills out like a pot on a stove that's boiling over, and the water's boiling over and spills out on the all around you. You can't see it, and cause you've been that way for a long time, but other people around you, they say, what's wrong with her? What's wrong with him? Must have a bad hair day, amen? Amen. Must have had a bad hair day. But we can get through it. If we can get through it, God knows we can get to it. There's a third response. A third response that we need to take today, and it's not only evaluate your situation, examine your attitude. Number three, engage the enemy. See if you agree with me. Some of you are right here. You're right here. You're right here. Don't miss this. You're right here. You've gone through something. You say, God, I know I'm at point eight right now, and if I could just retire, if I could just get my Social Security in, if I could just land a good job, that's point B. But watch. Right when you're in the middle of that, I know if my leg could just get better, if my children just wouldn't act this way, if my wife would just show me respect, if my husband just loved me like I need to be loved. But wait a minute, you're not there yet. You're at point A, but you're trying to get there. And right in the middle of that journey, who shows up? The devil. You know what he says? You're not going to make it. God don't love you. God's not going to see you through this. And the devil dangles his bait and says, I've got something better than point B. And he gets you on a tangent, and all of a sudden you're on a little old rabbit trail right here, and you're chasing something you thought that was the will of God, and you get out of the will of God, and the next thing you know, you're out of the will of God. The devil has dangled his bait and said, hey, I got a shortcut for you. I got a shortcut for you. You don't have to follow God. You don't have to be obedient to the Lord. You don't have to yield to the Lordship of Christ. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. If you're listening, say amen. If Jesus, the Son of God, was tempted by the devil when he fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights, recorded in the 4th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And he was tempted when the devil said, yeah, if you're really hungry, turn these stones into bread. And yeah, if you're really God, throw yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple and his angels will rescue you. And yeah, I'll give you all this if you bow down and worship me. If Jesus, God, was being tempted by the devil, don't you know you and I are going to be tempted by the devil? I'm telling you right now, the enemy is saying, you don't have to serve God. You can do your own thing. Why, you can do this and that. But wait a minute, he's a liar, so engage him. Engage him. Engage him right now. Some of you are tempted. You say, but God, I've been in this storm a long time. I'm trying to get to be. But God, for some reason or another, I just keep going around and keep going around. And Lord, I can't make it. And so, hey, how many of you know that sometimes we get so vulnerable and we get so anxious and we get so impatient that we're willing to grasp for any answers? Y'all know what I'm talking about. You hadn't got it yet to be. And so it's just, wait, guard your heart. Proverbs 14:23, the Solomon Oak said, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. There's a fourth response. How should we respond when I'm going through it to get to it? Number one, evaluate your situation. Number two, examine your attitude. Number three, engage the enemy. Number four, here's really where the rubber hits the road. Exchange your will for God's will. That's it, brother. That's it, sister. Why? Because when I'm going through it to get to it, my difficulty is, God, are you sure that's really where you want me? And God, we begin to second guess. God shows us his will. God shows us his purpose. We enroll in school. We commit to marriage. We say we love our children. We endeavor to seek the Lord's face. But then right in the middle of the journey, it's like this, Lord. I'm not sure, Lord, now. I thought you said this, but I'm not sure now, Lord. And here's the key. Exchanging our will for God's will. Why is that important? I'll tell you why. Because the potter, he knows about the clay. Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. I want to teach you a little lesson down there. And Jeremiah goes down there, and there's a little clump of lump of clay. It's hard, and old potter's spinning that wheel with a spindle into it. And man, he's rolling that stuff around, and he's just patting that clay and just working on it real good. Don't you know if that clay could talk, it'd say, leave me alone. I want to get in my little comfort zone. Leave me alone. I'm glad God doesn't leave us alone, amen. I'm glad that he knows the best for us and we've got to trust him. Lord, not my will. If Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he carried the three, Peter, James, and John, and he's praying in the garden, what did it say? Lord, Father, let this cup pass from me. Help me out, somebody. Not my will. Your will be done. Have you done that? You're in the storm now, but that attitude thing, and when we exchange our will, you know what happens when we exchange our will? Here it is. Here's what happens. And I'll be honest with you, this is where my real struggle is. I'm telling you, if you could get over this hurdle right here, if you could get over this hurdle right here, I think you might could make it to be. I believe you really could. Have you thanked the Lord what you're going through right now? Thank him. See, that's the hard part, isn't it? Have you thanked him? No, I can't thank him. I know you can't in your own flesh. But Lord, I'm going from point A to point B, but you know where the breakthrough comes from me personally? When I'm going through a test or a trial, it's when I begin to say, thank you, precious Lord. Because the Word of God says, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. Let's say that together. In everything, give thanks. Say it again. In everything, give thanks. Does that mean the good times, the bad times? Yep. Does that mean in the hard places and the easy places? Yeah. Tell them, are you giving thanks to God what you're going through now? Are you giving thanks to God though you're not at point B? Are you saying, Lord, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving? With thanksgiving? With thanksgiving? Well, if I could just exchange my will for his will, I know I could get there. I know I could. If I can get through it, I know I can get to it. God, if you can get me through it, I can get to it. There's a fifth response, and here it is. Exercise faith in Jesus. When we're going through a trial of success, and we've got our focus, and if God could just bring me through it, It's a faith issue, isn't it? Am I going to believe the Lord? Am I going to trust Him? The Bible says, the writer of Hebrews in 12:2 says, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6, and faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not believing God can. Faith is believing God will. Come on. Faith. Have you exercised faith in God? Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get there. I don't know. I don't have it all figured out. And I'm going to trust you. Can I share personal testimony? To God be the glory. Almost 10 years ago, this year, December 2003, I took our son to the doctor. He had a lump on his neck. No big thing. Went to the doctor in December 2003. The doctor said, well, it's no big deal, no problem. Just an enlarged gland, that's all it is. I remember sitting in the doctor's office when he told me that. I said, well, thanks, doc. I said, well, sure wish you, I can tell my wife that. She's been worried about this thing, concerned about this thing. And then he said, well, we'll just take a little biopsy. I mean, you know, just to be sure, it's okay, no big deal. He said, I'm convinced it's just an enlarged gland right here. And 2 days later, I was sitting up in my study up here at the office, and the telephone rang. It was the doctor. And I answered the phone. He said, this is the doctor. I said, yes, sir. He said, I just want to let you know that your son might have the C word, cancer. Now, how many of you have been there? How many know that'll take the wind out of your sails? How many know that'll knock you to your knees? And I was taken back. He said, we're not sure. That the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God, at that moment, I'll never forget it, quickened the word of God in my heart in Psalm 118, verse 17. Right after I hung up the phone, the Lord just came in glory and power and ministered my heart. I'm glad God is real. I'm glad that the Lord won't leave us nor forsake us in the difficult times. And the Lord's quickened that in the heart. He shall not die, but he shall live and declare the works of the Lord. I said, oh God, oh God, oh God, I don't understand that, but oh God. And then after 3 surgeries, and one of the surgeries was, the doctor said, brace for the worst, hope for the best. How many know 7 days of not knowing, 7 days, 7 days of not knowing when your child is going through the throes is enough to drive anybody. Oh my, you've been there. Many of you have been there. You've been there and beyond. And after 3 surgeries, fear of this and that, God says, I'm going to get you through it. I'm going to get you to it. And many of you prayed and fasted and cried out to God. And that was 10 years later. Good news. God's in control. The Lord knows. How should we respond when we're going through it to get to it? Number 2, what lessons can we learn? Lord, what are you up to? Lord, what are you up to? I need a job. I need some relief. I've got back trouble. I can't sleep at night. My job is just stressing me out. I'm not reaching my goals. My children aren't independent. They're living here. I'm having to pay the bills. And God, I just don't know if I can handle it anymore. What lessons does the Lord want us to learn? 1, brokenness leads to blessedness. Don't miss it. Brokenness leads to blessedness. The psalmist said, when you pull me through all this stuff, I know that I'm going to give you a testimony. You got to see this in Psalm 66. Look at this, verse number 16. Come and hear, all you that fear God, and I will declare what he had done for my soul. Listen, brokenness leads to blessedness. Some of us today, instead of bowing up at God and getting angry and bitter toward God, God says, I want you, hear me, to fall on your knees. Be broken. Be broken before the Lord. Jesus said, whosoever shall fall upon the stone shall be broken. But whosoever the stone shall fall upon it will grind to powder. How many know that there's some things that are just simply out of our control? And we just have to say, Lord, I don't have the answers. But I'm going to bring this to you. And some of you today, there's some things you've been just You've been every which way but loose. You don't know what you're going to do. And you've been trying to figure it out and trying to manipulate the circumstances, trying to do things on your own. And today God's telling you, bring it to me. Jesus is saying, bring it to me. Brokenness leads to blessedness. Secondly, not only does brokenness lead to blessedness, but humility brings God's glory. Watch this now. Don't miss this. James put it this way. He said, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted in mourning. Weep that your laughter be turned into mourning. You join the heavens. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up. Peter wrote and said this. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Often we're not humble about stuff, though. We're so self-dependent. Come on. We're so independent. We're so... And then God carries us. Look at this. God is refining us. God is refining us through the process. And then all of a sudden we realize we can't make it to point B. And so God, I want to humble myself under your mighty hand. I want your blessing. Humility brings God's glory. I want you to know something. How many want God's glory in your life? How many want others to witness the power of the risen Christ? Humility, brokenness. And then point three. See if you agree with me. We're at point A, but we're wanting to get to point B. If I get through it, I know I can get to it. Number three, the third learning lesson we learn when we go through troubles and trials. James put it this way. Consider it all joy, brethren, when you fall into various trials. Knowing the testing of your faith produces endurance. That's James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Paul put it this way, Romans 5, verse 3 and 4. He said, tribulations, plural. The word is thlipsis in the original language. It means pressure. Tribulations, problems. Tribulations worketh patience, and patience worketh experience. Dokeme, character. And character brings hope. God says, I'm out to make you a man of God. I'm out to make you a woman of God. But there's some, watch this. There's some dross in you. There's some impurities I got to get out of you. Too much of me, not enough of Jesus. And God says, I'm going to put you through the fire, son. I got to get you through the fire, young lady, because there's too much of self in you. And point three, third lesson to learn is this. I want to know him. I want to know him. Paul put it this way, Philippians 3:10, that I might know him and the power, speaking of Jesus, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Look at this. There's something about it, beloved. See if you agree with me. There's something about it. We're up here at point A. We want to get to point B. And we can't get there. And all of a sudden, it's like we fall on our knees and say, Jesus, if you don't pull me through, I won't make it. And all of a sudden, when we're in the crucible, all of a sudden, when we're in the middle of the furnace, the Lord comes in his glory. Woo! Glory! He comes in his manifested glory. Unlike any other time in our life. Unlike any other time in our life. The Lord reveals himself to us. And he reveals himself through us. Lord, I want to know you. You see, our focus is on getting to point B. God's focus is on me knowing him. That's God's focus. I need to know you. But watch this. Not only does the Lord want us to know him, he wants us to let him be known. I want to know you, Lord. But I want everybody, see if you agree, I want everybody around me, not only for me to know you, Jesus, but I want everybody, my neighbors, my family, my friends, my schoolmates, my co-workers, I want everybody else to know you too. Amen. That's my goal, Lord. I want to know you. I know that sometimes you reveal yourself when I'm in the middle of the furnace. I know, Lord, that sometimes weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I know sometimes that though you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and through the plunges and under before you, and though you walk upon the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. I know sometimes, Lord, you carry me, because underneath of me are your everlasting arms. I know, Jesus, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I know, Lord, your word says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I know I've got a great high priest who can sympathize with my weaknesses. I'm glad I'm on Jesus' prayer list. Well, you mean Jesus is praying for me? I'll tell you, John 17 is still in the book, and thank God he knows me, he loves me, he saved me. Thank God he's coming back for me. And guess what? He's not finished with me yet. He that begun a good work in you, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We're in the midst. And you see, I want him and want him to be known. Watch this. That silversmith, he'll get that silver. He'll put it in the fire. We're told he'll put it in the hottest part of the fire. He's got that silver and he's got it in the hottest part of the fire. Meanwhile, he's watching. That silversmith has his eye on the silver. Telling you, our God's got his eye on you. He knows you. He knows every single hair on our head. Not a sparrow can fall to the earth that the Lord doesn't know about it. His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is complete toward him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness around the world and they that dwell therein. No wonder the psalmist said, I will lift up my eyes into the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord. No wonder he said, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, and though the waters thereof roar and are troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river. Oh yeah, there's a river. The holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. Watch. That silversmith knows. He knows when to pull that silver out of the fire. If he holds that silver in the fire too long, it's going to overcook the silver, so we're told. But if he doesn't leave it in long enough, the impurities will not surface to the top and be scooped away. Some say it takes 3 times to really fully purify silver. Some say it takes 7 times. To fully purify silver. How many know that we are in the furnace of our great God, and he knows exactly when to pull us out of the fire. His eye is watching us. And guess what? He's not finished with the silver until when? He can see his own reflection in the silver. He's going to keep putting it in the fire. Well, Lord, I didn't know all that. I thought I was just going to go from point A to point B. I didn't know about all this refining, and I didn't know I was going to have to be in the furnace. And Lord, I didn't know that, but the silversmith is finished with the process. When he can see his own reflection, let others see Jesus in you. Keep telling the story. Be faithful and true. Let others see Jesus in you. And then last but not least, quickly in closing, not only how should we respond, what lessons can we learn? Number 3 and finally is this: where could I go but to the Lord? I like that old song. Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Finding a friend who'll lead me to the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? I'm telling you, when we're in a furnace and when we're going through a trouble and trial, tell you, Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest for your soul. My peace I leave with you. Peace I give unto you. All right, here's what we need to pray today. Time of surrender right now. Number one. Let's pray this together. Lord, guide me when I can't see my way clearly. Guide me, Lord. I can't see my way clearly. How many know sometimes when you're going through a trial and a trouble, you can't see everything clearly? It's like you're in a fog. It's like there's dust all around you. You know point B is out there somewhere, but you're not really sure where it's at. Our prayer ought to be today, Lord, guide me, guide me, guide me. God, I need you to guide me. No wonder this Solomon said, the path of the justice is a shining light that goeth more and more to the perfect day. Not only, Lord, guide me, watch this, Lord, carry me. Oh, Lord, I know I can't. Watch this, I can't walk without you holding my hand. God, I need you to carry me. How many need God to carry you right now? How many have needed God to carry you in the past? How many need God to carry you right now? It was like that footprints. When I look back, the old footprints, I saw one said it was them that God carried. How many are glad to thank God? God said, I won't leave you nor forsake you. It's those times that we can rest assured. God said, I'm going to carry you through it, son. I'm going to carry you through it, daughter. You're not alone. You'll never be alone. I'm going to be with you, in you, and upon you. I'll guide you into all truth. I'm going to send my spirit. Hey, let's pray today. Lord, carry me, Lord. Carry me through it, Lord. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I say, God, if you don't carry me, I'm a sinking ship. And some of us today need to pray, not only carry me, Lord, but fill me. We get low, don't we? And some of you are low right now. You've been battling with the world, the flesh, the devil. Our prayer is this, Lord, fill me. Not only guide me, not only carry me, but Lord, fill me today. Fill me today. Lord, fill my cup up. I'm empty. I'm half empty. I'm down. I'm weary. I've been in the battle. Lord, fill me today. Fill me up. Send me out with your unction. Send me out with your anointing. Send me out with your power, Lord. I need your power, Lord. Paul said we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God, not of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Listen to me. A clay pot can sit in the sun all day long, and it'll always be a clay pot. But a clay pot, in order to become porcelain, has to go in the furnace. Has to go in the furnace. You can be a clay pot if you want to. An immature Christian, hitting and missing this side of heaven, not being used of God. Or you can be a clay pot that's willing to go to the fires and through the furnace, become something beautiful, something usable. Oh, God, something usable, something beautiful. Lord, carry me. Lord, guide me. Lord, fill me. And then, Lord, not only that, but love me, Lord, when I feel unlovable. Come on. Love me, Lord, when I feel unlovable. Love me. Does anybody here need God to just love on you a little bit? Love me, Lord. That's what your prayer needs to be. Lord, just love on me. I feel unlovable, but love me, Lord. Carry me, Lord. Guide me, Lord. Feel me, Lord. And then last but not least, let's pray it together. Pull me through that I might glorify you. And the church said, let's stand together.